Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, October the 4th, 2017, 13 minutes after 1 o'clock. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. Before we get to what we need to get to this hour, something very important, big news of the day, very sad news. Our current Marion County prosecutor, Brent Yeager, died last night. Passed away at the age of 60. It's sad news. I got to know Brent from the League of Women Voters Candidates Night. He was always a very kind and special guy, always had a nice word, and sad to lose him last night at the age of 60. So the news again, Marion County Prosecutor Brent Yeager passed away last night at the age of 60, and certainly we hope that he rests well. And we send our best wishes and thoughts out to his family. We want to thank Dr. Art Uhlein for being on in hour number one, former Today Show doctor, to discuss issue two. Hopefully that sheds some light on the issue coming up on the November ballot. Art Uhlein is not employed by either side of the issue, and he does not live in Ohio. So hopefully that was a clear and unbiased opinion from somebody in the medical field who did their research on issue two. Now this hour we're going to do something we just assume not do, but we are going to, because we wish he was still with us. We're going to celebrate a life. A gentleman who was on this program several times, Lance Russell, the legendary voice of Memphis wrestling and a fixture in Memphis television, on Memphis television for so long, passed away yesterday at the age of 91. He had such a distinctive voice, such a distinctive personality. Every time I talked to him, he was always in a good mood and had no stress at all. We're going to remember this hour, but before we get to our very special guest, and we thank him for joining us. One of the things, if you are not a wrestling fan, you probably remember Lance Russell best for, is he is the voice behind the Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart feuds of the 1980s. He is the voice you hear. So let's go back to Memphis wrestling, early 1980s, Andy Kaufman, Lance Russell, Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart, all of the bunch involved, and listen to that great, great voice.
Jimmy Hart really tearing into Andy Kaufman. Referee Thomas Marlin trying to get them separated. We had a little experience with that on television. Oh, here comes Sweet Daddy O. He grabs Kaufman.
This is a check. This is the check that I was offering to anyone who could put Jerry Lawler in the hospital. It's for $10,000. This is what I was going to offer any wrestler that could put Jerry Lawler in the hospital. Is going to get $10,000. I am offering this check to Jerry Lawler if he will come out here and say that he will be my partner in a match against Jimmy Hart.
With all the things that you've said and tried to do to Lawler, I can't really think that you think he's going to go up and be your partner in the ring, Andy.
That's past history. I said I learned my lesson. I was wrong.
Well, here's the king. Let's get out front here. Jerry, I assume you heard the conversation back here.
You know, I've seen so much from Andy Kaufman on television, just like everybody else has, that this is a little hard to swallow, if I might just be quite frank with you.
Come on in here. He's not going to...
You're right. Mr. Lawler, Jerry, whatever. You're right. I've learned a lesson. I admit that I was wrong all this time. I'm sorry for everything that I've done. I just want a chance to get it the Hart without one of his goons coming out and getting on me. I want a chance to get him one-to-one. I know that with you in my corner, that won't happen. You'll be able to stop whoever he has. I want a chance. Now, I hate Hart, okay? And I think you hate Hart, too. Now, I want to just get a chance to do what I can to Hart.
Now, that all sounds real good, but I also remember seeing you on television right here on this show saying, I hate Lawler, and me, and all of this stuff. What is that right?
Remember?
That was only just talk. I was just running off at the mouth. I've been very obnoxious, and I'm sorry. If you'd please be in my corner, I will gladly pay you this $10,000.
Let me just say this. Let me make a little proposition to you. I'll be your partner against Hart and whoever he brings. If you'll agree that that match will be the last time you step in a wrestling ring.
Uh-huh, yes. I'll agree to that.
You heard the proposition now. You won't wrestle, not just here, anywhere.
I will do anything to get you in my corner against Hart so I can beat Hart without any interference.
He promises never to wrestle again. That's enough for me. You keep your money. I'll go down to the ring with you. Can you add that? Can you get it? We'll get Eddie Marlin. You add the match,
okay? We'll take a break here and check with him.
Nobody better than Lance Russell to control those great moments. Joining us via telephone, the son of Lance Russell, Shane Russell. Mr. Russell, so glad to talk with you, and my condolences along with so many other people.
Well, good to talk to you, Scott. I tell you, listening to that just brings back so many memories, and this is still a fresh wound for me, so you may have to bear with me because the emotions are running high with me right now.
The first thing I notice is, and I'm sure the first thing the listeners notice, is you sound an awful lot like your father.
Well, that's about all. My dad was just, he was a magician behind the mic, and he helped so many wrestlers through interviews, and he was just something else. And that distinctive voice every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock was, yellow again, everybody, Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. And he was great at it.
There was nobody like him. As a father, what kind of guy was he at home?
I'm biased, but he was the best dad. You know, he had not many people know it, but, you know, he was a television executive. You know, he had a regular job every day, and he was program director for WHBQ-TV in Memphis and an ABC affiliate, and he went to work every day, and then on Saturday morning he did the wrestling, on Monday night he did the wrestling, but, you know, he always found time for the kids. And you got to pardon me, it's still tough to talk about, but I give you an example. I was an avid sports fan growing up as a kid, played baseball, football, basketball, all that, and even though he was doing all that, he was still my coach. He coached all my little league teams in baseball and basketball, and he coached all my friends, and to this day I've gotten so many phone calls, you know, from all those days, all my friends back then, just saying, hey, we remember those days as your dad as a coach, and he was just a great man.
I tell you, Shane, one thing about your father, as I said, we had him on radio several times, and back when we were doing a television show, we Skyped him in, and one of my fondest memories of him was during that Skype interview. It just seemed he could not give me enough compliment for coming up with the idea for Skype, which it was not a novel new idea at the time, and he knew that, I'm sure, but he was just, he always was so complimentary of other people. He just, there was something about him, it was almost as if he didn't know he was this rock star in Memphis, Tennessee, and with the Kaufman thing that went national, it's almost like he was the guy at the grocery store, and he just wanted to tell you how good you were.
You're exactly right, and, you know, that's what made him special. I saw a comment on Facebook on his page. Someone said that he is just like my grandpa. I mean, and that's what he was. He was very genuine. He didn't care if you were a millionaire or not. He was truly a friend, and you needed something, he could help you out. He was there. He was just a nice guy, and it's funny, people always ask about, you know, well, why didn't you keep all those tapes from Memphis? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? He goes, you know, at that time, it was just a job to us. We were just doing a job, and he just was a great guy at being able to figure out what the situation was and know how to reach people, and that's why Memphis Wrestling, a live program every Saturday, was the highest rated program they've ever had. And he just knew how to reach people, and he just did a great job at it.
As you said, he was a television executive. A lot of people, certainly at that time, would have thought wrestling, that's beneath. That's beneath what I'm willing to do. What was his attitude toward wrestling in those days?
He, that's a good question. He explains it this way, that he was a sports fan, and he did, and as a kid, his dad would take him to see wrestling, and he always had a soft spot in his heart for wrestling. So, but, you know, he did, and not many people know this either, but he did play-by-play for Memphis State football back then. He did play-by-play for baseball, for boxing. He was just a sports fan, and he considered wrestling a sport. And he just enjoyed it, and he did what he enjoyed. So that's how he explained it.
Back in those days, for people who don't know, wrestling was a territorial business, and Lance was the voice of the Memphis territory. But here came the early 1980s, and Andy Kaufman comes in. And in the days of three-channel television and maybe some local stations in your area before cable television really had entered the landscape, Jerry Lawler is slapping Andy Kaufman on Late Night with David Letterman on network television. Lance Russell's voice is everywhere. During the Andy Kaufman time, what was his life like?
Well, I tell you, it didn't change a whole lot. I mean, he certainly enjoyed the notoriety that was happening at the time. But life went on as usual, and he enjoyed that Andy Kaufman feud with Lawler tremendously. And but it was a job, and he just went out there and did the best he could do to make the fans come in and come down and see him on Monday night, and he wanted them all to enjoy what was happening.
What did he think of Andy Kaufman as a person?
You know, I've asked him that several times, and he said, you know, Andy was, and this is exactly what he said. He said Andy was a strange guy. He when he got in character, he stayed in character. Right? He went out to Hollywood to do the movie Man on the Moon. I don't know if you saw that or not, Scott, but Jim Carrey played Andy Kaufman, and he said he was telling stories about how Andy would just stay in character, and Jim Carrey did the exact same thing. He stayed in character throughout the whole set. But he said he was just a strange guy. He couldn't believe that a celebrity like Andy Kaufman would come down to Memphis, Tennessee and do this. But Andy, he loved to get under the fans' skin, and he saw this was a great way, and got a hold of Lawler, and the rest is history.
Back in those days, we're talking early 1980s, Andy Kaufman's whole life was kind of like wrestling, in that he said he wasn't Tony Clifton. He was involved in wrestling. And when Lawler pile drove him in Memphis, that made the news, as if he, and Andy stayed in the hospital. As an announcer in those days, did your father, did he know that it was part of the show? Or was he along with everybody else and thought, oh, okay, this is something real?
No, that question was asked him many times too, and here's the way he wanted it. He knew the plot. He knew what was, you know, what the plot was, what was going on. He didn't want to know the finish though, because he wanted to be surprised so he could explain it to the fans. And so he knew Andy Kaufman was coming in, and they were doing stuff with Lawler, and they were doing that, but he didn't want to know that, hey, at the end, Lawler was going to power drive Andy. He didn't want to know that, because he wanted to be just as surprised as the fans were, so he could give that honest, true reaction.
After wrestling had died down, what were your father's years like the last 20, 25 years?
Well, he and my mom, it's a funny story. My mom grew up in Dayton, Ohio. So Ohio has a soft spot in my heart, because my dad, although he wasn't born there, he moved there as early on as a kid. He and my mom met in high school, and they were married for 67 years until her death about 3 years ago. So, they actually grew up right outside of Dayton, Ohio, called Centerville, Ohio. That's where they lived for a long time. But after my mom passed away, he moved in with my wife and I down in Pensacola, Florida. And the dad, up until his health wouldn't allow it, but he loved to play golf. He was an avid golfer. He loved to fish. We'd go fishing a lot. And then later on, about 4 or 5 years ago, these Comic Cons started going around, and he started getting calls for him to come in and do a Comic Con here or a wrestling reunion with legends. And so I would take him around. At that time, he couldn't drive anymore, and I would take him around, and he just had a great time interacting with all the fans and signing autographs and doing all that. And I tell you one thing, Scott, about my dad, he loved the fans, and he just felt a really kinship to them and just cherished them throughout his whole career.
You know, I want to tell a little story because I think it's something people should know about Lance Russell. I wasn't really sure how to get a hold of him about 10 years ago. I'm going to say maybe more than that. But I wanted to do a joint interview with he and Bob Caudill, who was a prominent wrestling announcer down in the Southern...
Sure, over in Carolinas. Big, good friend of his.
Absolutely. And Bob didn't even have Lance's number, and I forget how I came by it. But I left a message. Might have been the early days of Facebook. And I remember he called to say yes, he wanted to do the show. And I thought it'd be a quick call, you know, when do you want to do it and what number should I call you at, which typically is what happens. But he got on the phone and he told me about your mother. He told me his Ohio connection. And then he wanted to know what I had done and what I was doing. And we were probably on the phone 45 minutes, no interview, just the first time we'd talked. And when I got off the phone, I thought, that is just one of the most genuinely interested people. It was hard to interview him in a way because he wanted to know about you.
That's him.
Yeah, he was just unique. The last few years, since your mother's passing, because I know he was very devoted to her when she was ill and did not do a lot of the personal appearances, after she passed and he went out and did those, did he think people would remember him? I knew they would, but was he shocked by the number of people that still wanted to see him?
Shock is probably a mild word. He just could not believe. I remember the first one we ever did. It was in Evansville, Indiana. And the guy called me, and at that time, again, I had to travel with him. And he said, we'd love to have Lance Russell come up and do this Comic-Con. And I said, are you sure you want Lance Russell? It's been several years since he's been out of the business. And he said, oh, yeah. So I went and I told Dad. I said, hey, Dad, I got a call, and a guy wants to come up and have you come up and do this Comic-Con. He goes, man, he says, nobody's going to remember me. I've been out of this business so long. And I said, Dad, they want you, so I think we ought to do it. And he goes, okay, let's do it. So we're going up there, and he's like, I bet you nobody's going to be there. And we get there, and it was like the floodgates opened up. Yep, Lawler was there, Bill Dundee was there, Handsome Jimmy Valiant was there, but I'll be dead gum, everybody wanted to see Lance Russell. And he was just so shocked, so overwhelmed, he just couldn't believe it. And to the day he died, he still talked about that Comic-Con that he went to, and he just couldn't believe it.
You know, at 91 years of age, one thing I was interested in, his voice, it never changed.
Changed, Scott. He, he lost a lot of his ability to do different things. His memory was fading. He had all kind of other things, but remarkably, he never lost his voice. And last year we went to Jonesboro, Arkansas to do a legend show there. And he was so worried about it because he knew his memory was fading. And he was just afraid that he was going to forget or do this or that. And I said, Dad, you'll be great. Don't worry about it. He walks out there. The fans go crazy. Lawler's waiting for him right down by the ring. They put that microphone in his hand, and it's like he never lost a beat. I mean, he went into it. Hello again, everybody. Lance Russell. I mean, he just went crazy, and the fans loved it. And again, you put the microphone in his hand, and he and that voice came out. Everybody knew it was Lance Russell.
A few years ago, the WWE put a DVD out on Jerry the King Lawler, who has become a big superstar, of course, up there in New York, worldwide. And Lance Russell is in that DVD very prominently, that Lance helped Jerry get into wrestling in Memphis. And a little known story that Lance once told me, which I don't think is talking out of school here, that when Jerry Lawler went into the WWE Hall of Fame in the early 2006, 7, 8, something like that, they asked Jerry who they wanted to induct him. And they ended up getting William Shatner for name publicity. But I guess Jerry was a little steam. He wanted Lance Russell to do it. What was their relationship like?
Well, I'm sure you know the story, but, you know, Jerry and Dad were very, very close friends. And one thing I'm so happy about Jerry, he never forgets his roots and his loyalty. And Jerry and Dad have known each other since Jerry was 15 years old, when he was a fan of Memphis wrestling. And Jerry, I'm sure everybody knows, Jerry is a great artist. He's just fabulous. He would do pictures and he would send them in to Dad at the station. And Dad, every Saturday, would show these pictures. Hey, a young fan out here, Jerry Lawler, and has done these pictures. And so one day Dad calls Jerry's dad, says, hey, we'd love to have Jerry come down and be on camera. And he agreed, and Jerry came down. And then eventually Jerry wanted to get into the business. And Dad introduced him to Jackie Fargo, the fabulous one. And so the rest is history from there. Jerry took it upon himself, and Jerry's just a very talented guy, and he did great. Another story about Jerry was last year, the Cauliflower Alley Club, CAC, was honoring my dad as the announcer, and you can have somebody introducing at the show, and I called Jerry, and I said, Jerry, would you think about possibly coming out to Las Vegas? And I mean, I didn't even have to go any further. Jerry said, brother, you tell me what day and time and I'll be there. So they had a great relationship.
And if you go online, a few years ago, Monday Night Raw was in Memphis, and I think it was at Jerry Lawler's insistence, Lance Russell got to be announced and walk out in front of the crowd. What was that like for him?
Well, my dad was, he had never been to a WWE event. So he'd seen it on TV, but he didn't quite know the scope of it. And when we got there and he saw all the big screen TVs, the pyrotechnics, I mean, just everything, he was just, again, shocked and overwhelmed. He just couldn't believe it. And then we were backstage, and when he went into the room back there, it was like old wrestling days for him. Dutch Mantel was there, and Paul Heyman, and some of the older guys, old Downtown Bruno. They all couldn't believe Lance Russell was there. They all came up to him and just hugged him and just said, "Lance, just great to see you again." And then we got to go backstage. We met John Cena, and we actually got a chance to meet Vince McMahon. And Dad was very pleased to meet Vince, and Vince was very, very nice and cordial, and saying some great things about Dad. And then we got back there and getting ready to go out. Dad was just a little nervous, you know. Again, he didn't know quite how it was going to, because it was a packed house in Memphis, FedEx Forum. I don't know what it holds, but it was packed. And Lawler announces Lance Russell, and Dad goes out. He puts that microphone in my dad's hand again, never lost a beat. He just did it like he did every Saturday.
Have you heard from Jerry since Lance's passing?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Jerry came out to see Dad while he was in the hospice facility, and even though Dad wasn't awake, he stayed there, and he tried to get him to wake up. He'd sit there over his bed and say, "Lance, this is Jerry, the King. Wake up, Lance!" You know, and he'd do that. And then I don't know if you know this or not, Scott, but we actually came to Memphis from Pensacola last Sunday, or a week ago Sunday, because my sister has been battling cancer for a year. Well, she passed away while we were here, and actually the same day my dad fell and broke his hip. So Jerry came to my sister's funeral last night. Very touching. So very thankful for that.
You know, it really says something about Jerry Lawler. For people who know him as the villain, to hear these stories, it's very important, because I know he certainly loved your father along with a whole lot of other people. I want to take a moment here and play one more clip, and then I want to ask something that went on in Memphis wrestling. But here is Lance Russell with Andy Kaufman back, more than 30 years ago now. Hard to believe. Here we go.
And a lot of people, too, except they really wanted them to get a hold of Andy. But I got to tell you one thing. He did make an impression on Kaufman. He's not in town too often, and maybe it's better that way. We made it a point to get back and talk to Kaufman after it was all over. Well, let's take a look at this.
We're in here. We're trying to get some comments
look
from Andy
guy's
Kaufman
jaw, Russell.
After
this,
the match
man.
With Jerry the King. Jimmy, will you let me
talk to him? He had something in his fist, man. Look at this.
You're taller and hollering. I wanted to talk to him and find out if he has had enough of Jerry the King.
I haven't. This doesn't prove a thing, my friend. I don't have enough.
Look at that jaw. It doesn't prove
yeah, he probably had some brass knuckles in his fist, okay? He got lucky. Lawler got lucky. And let me tell you something, Lance. Okay, I've got a lot of money, and I'm going to sue that guy. I'm going to get the top lawyers. I'm going to sue him. He has no right to do this to me. I've got a career to think about. I've got to put my face on television, nationwide television, not just small-time Memphis television.
It may be a little while before you do it now with that jaw.
Yeah, well, I'll sue him for every little money that I miss when I'm not working. Okay, and another thing, mister, is that... Look, I don't want to even talk. I don't even want to
that's
talk
okay.
about
that's okay. Don't get. Look, he hit him with something. He had something in his fist, man. That's what he. Look at the guy's jaw. It's broke, man.
And I ain't going to see the last of me either, okay? I'm going to learn. I know how to do the pile driver. I couldn't pick him up this time, okay? So I'm going to have to work out a little more. And he got lucky. I was my fault. My knee went into the Colossus, okay? Yeah. My knee is what put him in the ropes. If it wasn't for that, Lawler wouldn't have gotten to me. And Lawler would have lost this match. And Lawler would have been in the hospital. Next time, I will not make that mistake.
Next time.
That's right, next time.
You
I will
need
come
to
back.
Tell me. Mr. Russell,
I have a lot of money. I make thousands. I make millions of dollars in Hollywood. I am offering $5,000 to any wrestler that will put Lawler in the hospital, any wrestler that will pile drive him, and I'll do it myself. I'll get a guy to do it myself. Russell, I'll be back. He hasn't seen the last of me, Russell. I will be back,
you
Russell.
You may have seen the you last of him talking
no,
on
you have not seen the last of me, and I will make sure he hasn't been and after a week in the hospital, when I put him in the hospital next time, after 1 week of him lying in traction, then he's going to apologize to me for what he did last year. And another thing I want to say is, you fans who started booing and hissing me tonight, don't try that again. Don't try that again. I am a star, and next time I come here, I want you all to get down on your knees and bow down to me. And if I pass you by, kiss my feet.
Yeah, okay.
You bunch of slimy hicks from Memphis, Tennessee. You hicks, go and plow the plow the fields and the farms, you little hicks.
Just keep running your jaw, and you'll have worse than you got right now. Andy Kaufman, the loser in the match with Jerry the King.
Lance Russell, the true professional.
Something else.
Oh, my goodness. One thing I wanted to ask you about, we're chatting with Shane Russell, the son of Lance Russell. There was a song, Jimmy Hart. Well, what was his relationship with Jimmy Hart like?
Jimmy was a good friend of Dad. You know, grew up in Memphis, And he, matter of fact, still stayed in touch with Jimmy on a regular basis. Jimmy, I actually knew Jimmy very well, too. He opened up a bar and grill down in Daytona Beach, and I'd go down and say hello to Jimmy on my work trips when I'd go down there. But Dad and Jimmy, you know, just very good friends. He was over in Jonesboro last year, too, and got a chance to ride back with Jimmy, and they just talked and talked about the old days and everything that happened.
And for those who doubt the popularity of Lance Russell as a part of the show, back in those days, Jimmy Hart, if people don't know, was a member of the singing group, the Gentrys. And when the wrestling was at its height in Memphis, he came out with a song that was played on Memphis radio stations, Lance Russell's Nose. What did your dad think of that?
Well, again, he loved it. You know, he knew it was all in jest. And, of course, Jerry Lawler was the one that came up with the whole banana nose thing. And unfortunately, I have that same trademark as my dad. So as I tell Lawler all the time, hey, thanks for making my childhood grade school days tough, because that's everybody would call me that same thing too. So that was always fun. But yeah, Jimmy was very talented. He wrote I can't tell you how many songs. You know, he did Lance Russell's Nose. He did Jimmy Valiant's song, and he did a bunch for WWE. So but yeah, Dad took it all in. He knew it was fun, and the fans loved it, and he just went right along with it.
What is it like being a child, an offspring at that point when that's going on?
You know, early on, you know, it was kind of tough because, you know, people would, you know, kind of anything that happened on that Saturday morning, they'd come up to me and talk to me about it or make fun of it or do whatever. But, boy, as I got older, I just relished it. It was, I became a big wrestling fan, and, so I would go down to the studio on Saturday or Monday night, watch the wrestling, and got to know all the guys. And it was just a great time. I just loved every minute of it.
What was your dad? You talked about it a few minutes ago about horribly losing your sister to cancer. What were his last days like? What are the last memories like you had with him?
You know, my dad, toward the end there, he was suffering from some early onset dementia. So he had good days and he had bad days. But he still knew everything that was going on. He knew my sister was sick, and things didn't look good. Boy, I tell you, that didn't stop him from, every day talking to her and seeing how she was doing. And then when she went in the hospital, you know, he said, we got to get up there. So we bolted in the car and headed up, and he loved his daughter, and I loved my sister, and it was a very tough time. I guess the only good thing I can say about the dementia that he had was that, you know, I don't know if he was fully aware of how bad she was. You know, when he broke his hip that morning, he never really regained consciousness. So he didn't know that Valerie had passed. And, so it was pretty hard.
How are you going to remember this legend? 91 years he had with us.
Well, I tell you, Scott, you know, I'll have all my personal memories as a kid and being a father, but I've got YouTube, I've got the internet. You know, I'm so grateful for that, and not everybody has that. You know, anytime I want to, I can go on and look at old videos and see him, and so that's going to be special for me.
If people wanted to pay their respects, is it best to go to Facebook, or how should they do that?
Well, Dad has he actually has two Facebook sites. One, a personal one, just Lance Russell, And then he also has his I guess they call it a business one. I'm not sure of the Facebook terminology, but it's Lance Russell, the voice of Memphis Wrestling. And you'll see a lot of posts there, pictures. People are posting constantly now, just, hey, just wonder, you know, remember Lance and thank you for all what he did. And but that's the best ways if they want to pay their respects. He also had a Twitter account. I set him up with a Twitter account. It's funny, Scott. I would sit there and I would he'd sit in my den and I'd read him things and he'd say, okay, here's what you need to say, and I'd type it in for him because he couldn't type at that time and he just couldn't see the keys. But he was up to date of what people were saying, and he just loved it. Loved to hear what the fans would say, and just, again, couldn't believe and was shocked at the notoriety that he still had.
How would he like to be remembered by the wrestling fans, the people who watched him every Saturday morning?
Oh, you know, I think he would like to be remembered first and foremost as a loving husband and father. And then he would like to be remembered as a friend. Because, again, everybody was his friend. Didn't matter who you were, he treated you the same. And he would also like to be remembered as someone that brought pleasure to wrestling fans and made the experience better. And I think that's probably it.
You know, I have to say, it's a funny thing. We've had a lot of people from the wrestling world on, and not everybody is beloved. Wrestling business is a little peculiar in ways, but I never met anybody who did not like Lance Russell or did not like that voice. He had a great voice, and my condolences, because I thought of Lance as a friend all the times we had him on over the years. I remember when Ox Baker died and I asked him to come on. I think you relayed the message, and he was there within 45 minutes. He was just a stand-up guy, and I always loved hearing him talk, and I am so glad that voice goes on through you. So my condolences on your sister and certainly Lance. Do we know when the services will be for Lance? Is that public or private?
Yeah, it came out today. Scott, every morning, every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock was the wrestling program here in Memphis for 40-plus years. And so we thought it fitting that we have a visitation at Saturday morning at 11 o'clock from 11 to 1. At Memorial Park in Memphis, and we're inviting the entire city, whoever wants to come out and pay your respects. And no service. They just come out and say whatever you want to say. And then from 3 to 6, we're going to go down to Jerry Lawler's Bar and Grill on Beale Street, the famous Beale Street in Memphis, Tennessee, and we're going to have a celebration of life. I'm inviting the public. Come down, share your stories of dad, of wrestling, or whatever, and we're just going to have a lot of fun.
That sounds great. This coming Saturday, did he keep anything from his days in the wrestling business that was important to him?
Oh, my gosh. He's got so many mementos. Belts. He's got some belts. He's got the old bell that he used to ring. He's got tons of pictures and plaques that he won, and it's wrestling was very special to Dad, and he's got a lot of stuff to remember it by, and so I'm thankful for that.
And we will all remember him. Shane, I know it's been a rough few days, and I cannot thank you enough for making the time for us. He was one of my favorites and the audience favorites as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate all the nice words and wishes. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Shane Russell, the son of legendary wrestling announcer Lance Russell, who passed away yesterday at the age of 91. Tough when we lose somebody, but I think Lance would want us to do this. As I alluded to earlier on, there was a song in the heyday of Memphis wrestling called Lance Russell's Nose, which was a funny song, so it wouldn't be right if we did not, before we round out this hour, give you a listen to Lance Russell's Nose.
This morning, for the new record from Jimmy Hart. It's called Lance Russell's Nose.
I was listening to my radio late last night when I heard a knock on my door. I went to the window and I peeked outside. It was a girl about 5'4". She said she saw my name on a bathroom wall, so she thought she'd give me a try. So I locked the door and I invited her in. But when I turned on the light, she had Lance Russell's nose. She had Lance Russell's nose. Little watch, she smiled and cried and wild and Lance Russell's nose. She had Brooke Shields hair. You should have been there. Boy, was I surprised. Big old Gary Hill and Mick Jagger lips and Michael Jackson's eyes. An old Herschel Walker's knife. I was doing all right till she turned on the light. It was then I realized she had Lance Russell's nose. She had Lance Russell's nose. Little Roxy smiled and bowed and wild and Lance Russell's nose. Did everybody want you? Did everybody want you?
Being a little more of a gentleman than you are saves me from saying what I would like to do with those records and earphones. We'll take time out and be back in just a moment.
Lance Russell, the one and only legendary wrestling broadcaster, dead yesterday at the age of 91. And we're also, of course, sad to learn of the passing of Marion County Prosecutor Brent Yeager, who sadly passed away last night at the age of 60, and I'm sure more details on that will come as we have them. We have about 4 minutes left in the broadcast. If anybody would like to call in on anything we've talked about today, and we've covered the waterfront from issue 2 here in Ohio with Dr. Art Uhlein, the passing of Brent Yeager, the passing of Lance Russell. If you have any memories, 740-383-9944, or any opinions, we have about 3.5 minutes left. Give us a call, 740-383-9944, and we can get you in. Also, important to mention, Christmas Clearinghouse, and let me find that quick here before we run out of time. Christmas Clearinghouse registration is coming up at 1680 Marion Waldo Road. The dates to register are Tuesday, October the 10th from 4 to 7 p.m., Wednesday, October the 11th from 4 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, October the 14th from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. They're only accepting 420 applications. It's a first-come, first-serve basis. Here is what you need in order to register for the 2017 Christmas Clearinghouse. You need a picture ID of an individual of the individual registering on the application. You need a verification of income that can be a pay stub, public assistance verification. You need proof of the children, a birth certificate, mother certificate. Person registering must be listed as on the birth certificate or the mother's certificate, and a verification of your current address, which can be a utility bill, rent statement, mortgage statement. You must have all of those items to register. And this is not affiliated with Children's Services, so do not contact them for information. This is a separate entity. But remember, you have to have a photo ID of the individual registering, a verification of income, proof of the children, and a verification of the current address. Those dates, again, are very important. Tuesday, October the 10th, 4 to 7 p.m., Wednesday, October the 11th, 4 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, October the 14th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And remember, it's a first-come, first-serve basis, so only the first 420 people will be accepted. So keep that in mind. Coming up tomorrow on WWGH Radio, we'll kick off the morning with the Adam the Computer Guy show at 9:10 a.m. The Charlie Evers show will be on tomorrow, giving away lots of great Halloween items from 10:10 until 12 noon. And I'll be back with you for the ride tomorrow from 12:10 until 2 p.m. All kinds of other great programming tonight on WWGH Radio at 5:10, Heaven Express with Paul and Glenna Savage. Be sure to catch that tonight at 5:10 and every Wednesday at 5:10. And the Theology Guys with Brett Cornelius and Pastor Rhett Crabtree tonight at 6:10 p.m. That's every Wednesday, 5:10 and 6:10 p.m. And new episodes of Heaven Express are on Sundays at 5:10 p.m. and every other week at 4:10 p.m. So tune in those time periods to hear some great original programming, live radio like it was done so many years ago, live studio performances, music, interviews, helpful information, all those great things. And the Theology Guys regular live time period, Friday morning, 10 o'clock, 10:10 a.m. till 11 a.m., right after the obituaries and news, right here on WWGH Radio. That's going to wrap it up for a very eventful Wednesday. Hope you're having a great time out there in Marion. Again, condolences to the family of Brent Yeager. But on this day, for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, do you like? I feel like fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there.